Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been studying the subject of a surrendered life. Jesus has called each and every believer to live a life of self-denial, one where we surrender our rights to choose our own way in life, but instead surrender to God that He might direct us, lead us, and bless us in life by choosing His way above our own. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, "If anyone wishes to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This week we have talked about different areas of surrender. Abraham was a good example of surrendering the right to family and to stay among and in the midst of familiar circumstances, geographic area, or familiar people. When the Lord told him to get up and go to a land that he did not know, but that the Lord would show him, and he had to leave his family to do it. It required surrender in order to obey God. We know that Jesus surrendered the right to his reputation. He became of no reputation. He was willing to humble himself and not be seen as God and honored and worshiped as God when he came to the earth as a human being and was ridiculed and falsely accused. Many times in our service to God, the Lord will require a surrender of our reputation with men. Yesterday, we talked about the surrender of Moses, how he surrendered his right to financial security in order to obey God. He counted the riches of the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt when he turned his back on his lifestyle in the court of Pharaoh in order to obey God. Today, I want to talk with you about a type of surrender that many people perhaps are not aware of that is required by the Lord. And it is the surrender that God calls us to when we surrender our right to assess things, situations, circumstances, our future with our natural minds and instead embrace what God says, even when it runs contrary to what our logic or intellect might dictate. Caleb and Joshua embraced that surrender. In Numbers chapter 13, we find the amazing story where Moses had sent out the 12 spies into the promised land to spy out the land and bring back a report. As we know, 10 of the spies brought back what the Bible terms an evil report. They said, "Oh yeah, the land's great. It's got large fruit and beautiful land, and it flows with milk and honey, just like God said, but there are giants in the land, and the cities are fortified, and we'll never, never make it." In fact, in verse 31 of Numbers 13, the spies said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." That was the assessment of these men and their natural minds. Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand, surrendered their right to God to assess things with the natural mind. They embraced what God said. They literally embraced what God's word had been, that they could go in and take that land and it would become their possession as the children of Abraham promised by God generations ago. Joshua and Caleb's response was quite different from the other 10 spies. In verse 30, we find Caleb saying, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." And Joshua agreed in Numbers 14:7. He said, "The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The difference between Caleb and Joshua's response to what they viewed in the promised land and the 10 spies from the other tribes is like night and day. But the key was this: God had spoken. He had already said a certain thing, that the Israelites were to go in and possess that land, that God would be with them and drive out their enemies before them. They embraced that as the truth, even when they went in to take a look at the land. And with that in their hearts, that's how they assessed the situation. Today, we live in a time when the natural man, the natural intellect, logic, is exalted in our culture. And a person who can assess matters, circumstances, work situations, financial situations with a logical mind is revered. And yet, God calls us to a most unusual lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle of surrender, of following God regardless of the cost. And one of the surrenders that few people seem to grasp is that we are called to surrender our right to assess things with our natural mind, and instead to allow God's Holy Spirit and the Word of God to be the thing that dictates to us how to look at or view any and every situation. God wants us to have a scriptural view of circumstances, not a natural view of circumstances. God wants us to live a life that's a surrendered life to God, even when what God's word says seems to be contrary to what natural circumstances would dictate. God wants you to do what his word said and to trust that his wisdom is greater than your natural mind. When God's word says very clearly we're to forgive those who have hurt us, the natural mind will say that is impossible. It can't be done. I won't do it. I have the right to hold on to this anger. This hurt was so deep. This molestation was so serious. This attack and offense was so grievous. A poignant story which illustrates beautifully a choice on the behalf of a believer to surrender his rights to God in the area of forgiveness is about a man who lived at the time of World War II. A Jewish family came to his door one night in his hometown in France. And he took them in and he hid them from the Gestapo for 2 years until someone discovered his secret and reported him. The Gestapo came and took the Jewish family away and arrested Enrico as well. Christmas Day of 1944, many months after his arrest, found Enrico in prison. The camp commandant called him in to see a beautiful meal spread out. He said, "I want you to see this Christmas dinner your wife has sent for you before I eat it. Your wife is a good cook. She has sent you a meal every day that you've been in prison, and I have enjoyed them all." The Christian brother was emaciated, the skin hanging on his frame and his eyes hollow with hunger. But he looked across the food-laden table and said, "I know my wife is a good cook. I trust that you will enjoy her Christmas dinner." The commandant asked him to repeat what he said, and Enrico did, adding, "I hope that you enjoy it because I love you." The commandant bellowed, "Get him out of here. He's gone crazy." The war ended, and Enrico was released. It took 2 years to regain his health, but he did. And God also started to bless his business once again. He decided to take his wife back to the town where he had been imprisoned to give thanks to God for sparing his life. When they arrived, they learned that the former commandant was living in the same village. And again, God directed Enrico to do a certain thing to demonstrate his forgiveness of the man who had been so cruel to him. He remembered that the commandant had enjoyed his wife's cooking. So they went shopping, found a place to cook, and shortly they appeared at the commandant's door with two baskets of food. They were invited in, and Enrico said, "You don't recognize me, do you?" It occurred to him how different he must look now that he had put his weight back on. The commandant shook his head. Then Enrico reminded him, "On Christmas Day in 1944, I was in your office. I told you that I loved you, and you said I was crazy." The former commandant paled and shrank from him. The Christian said, "Don't be afraid. We didn't come to hurt you. I told you that day that I loved you, and I still do." The commandant stood there in silence, staring. "I wasn't crazy. I really meant it, and I want to show you I mean it now. The war is over. It's peacetime, and my wife and I would like to sit down with you and your wife and share a meal together. Would you allow us this privilege?" As they started to eat the bountiful meal which Enrico's wife had cooked, the commandant suddenly threw down his knife and fork. "What are you trying to do to me?" he exclaimed. The Christian replied, "Nothing. We just want you to know that we love you and we forgive you." "How can you?" the man yelled. "We couldn't have on our own," said Enrico, "but Jesus Christ taught us how to forgive." He shared more, and before the man could continue his meal, he knelt down and found Jesus as his personal savior. Had Enrico allowed his natural mind to be in control rather than surrendering his own way of thinking to God's way of doing things, this man would have never come to Christ, and Enrico could have gone to his grave as a bitter and angry man, though a Christian. God calls us to surrender our right to assess things with our own natural mind when that natural thinking runs contrary to the Word of God. Whether it's God's call to forgiveness or his call to tithe and give of our finances, God wants you to surrender your right to have your own way, even in your thinking, and allow him to have preeminence in your life. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.